pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. And with us tonight, a familiar voice, a repeat customer, Mr. Kyle.
I bet everyone was hoping it was Matt.
You know, yeah, I bet they were. Hey, hold on.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. Nathan says, right. I was hoping it was Matt. You said Kyle was coming on the show. I was hoping you meant Matt.
Well, you know, I was hoping for the bait and switch. But no, I actually had kind of an important question to ask you, Lang. Did you bring the bottle of scotch downstairs?
No.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You could just turn this podcast off. It's just going to be a mediocre one.
I already kind of have a headache, and this one I'm not trying to chug. I'm drinking 18-year-old Bowmore, so I'm not nice. I'm not looking to gulp this down. I'm gonna savor it and enjoy it, but you will not hear any glub 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 20 minutes into the podcast this time. And you know what? I'm just gonna go throw it out there. We recorded that on a Sunday, and Monday morning was not pleasant. let me tell you that much. Okay, so. I'm not going to say lesson learned because 3 weeks down the road is probably going to be the same thing that's going to happen again. But for now, I'm going to avoid it and just enjoy what I've got here. Kyle, what are you drinking?
I am 2.5 glasses into my Illich.
Mmm.
Of course, I'm pronouncing it wrong, but I'm not Scottish, so it doesn't matter.
Everything tastes of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Salty, peaty. Good stuff. Nathan, beer, I assume.
Well, of course it's beer.
Uncultured fucker.
That's right. Tonight I'm drinking Trois Pistoles from Unibrew. They're the same ones that make Blanche de Chambly, which I'm a repeat fan of on this podcast. Yes. So I figured I'd branch out and try their other beers.
You've come back to that a few times, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, since I am in some scotch drinking company, at least, and Kyle is well ahead of me at this point.
I'm classing up the joint.
Yeah, exactly. We're making it work. So let's start the show off as we normally do and talk about this week in hobby and kind of the things that we've gone through. I was able to get a game of Firestorm Armada in again against Aaron, somebody who had beat me in the past. So I was able to avenge the loss, and I mopped the floor with his Reloza. Just to kind of toss out there, this has been the fourth game that I've played so far at the 1,000-point range, and I really do feel like that is the proper balance point, because I feel like I've been able to put together at least 3 or 4 different lists, kind of different styles, and they've all played very differently, and they've all kind of I've have different tactics for how I'm deploying them and how I'm using them. So I think that, yeah, that's probably where that game is working best for me right now.
You know, I think that's kind of an interesting point, because you talk about having to build lists and things like that, and I think that a lot of different miniature games kind of make the problem of allowing players to just, hey, take everything you own, toss it all together, and just see what you're doing. But to me, I think that a lot of miniature games work better when you have that sort of list-building aspect, when you have that scarcity, where it's just like, no, you can't have everything.
Yeah, you got to choose, you got to have a tactic. Well, and the problem is a lot of those games, skirmish-size games or games with a typically small model count, you are always kind of playing off of whoever has the least number of models or the least number of points, as opposed to kind of saying to somebody like, right, you want to grab 1,000 points worth and you want to build toward that to get yourself started, like you would for Warhammer 40,000, right? In Warhammer, if somebody comes in and they've only got, you know, let's say 23 Space Marines and a Rhino, that's not a game, right? Like, you can kind of walk them through it and you do a bit of an intro game, but you're not playing the game in anybody's eyes. You're just rolling dice and moving models. Like, it's really, there's nothing much to it. Whereas once you kind of do have that points limit set, people start building toward that and kind of they do start bringing that list building in. But yeah, that's been it for me. I haven't done any painting. I haven't done much in the way of modeling. My studio is still utterly under construction. So, yeah, what about you, Nathan?
A little bit. Good Lord. I started Mass Effect instead of painting that Lord of Change.
Good.
So I'm about negative 5 hours on painting time this week thus far. Only ever going to get, go down from here. But no, I mean, I got a little bit of work done on my Lord of Change. I actually when I was 3 or 4 hours into his skin, I absolutely hated it and started again from scratch on where it was, because I was just like, he's just looking like shit.
This goes back to what I said last week. We're like, no, you're at that stage in your painting life where like everything is just so daunting, because he's just, you're never happy with the way anything looks, and everything is just like, start it and then you stop because you just you don't want to put the work.
Here's the weird. No, actually, this is why I painted over it. Is I was about 4 hours in. I'd accomplished first level highlights on one arm and most of one leg, and I was looking at it and I was just like, you know, that just looks like really sloppy, bad dry brushing. So I'm like, I'm just gonna do a test dry brush on the other leg. I'm like, well, fuck it. Now I have to repaint what I've done, because it'll look like shit. So hey, dry brushing, chuck that into the wind.
So Kyle, this week in hobby, you were doing some painting and you were doing some modeling, but of a different sort, of an exhaustive scale. Sort. You are opening your own store.
Indeed, I am.
Yep, so how does it feel to live the dream, Kyle? I mean, because everyone in this hobby is always just like, I'm going to open my own game store, because fuck Games Workshop and their stupid rules.
Oh, man. You know, it's funny, because on Facebook, a lot of the guys that I'm friends with have been like messaging me like, dude, you're living my dream. I'm just like, that's not really a very good dream.
See, the funny thing that I think somebody had brought that up. I can't remember if it was on Facebook or if it was just I was out having a game or something like that. And somebody said like, oh, yeah, man, he's living the dream. I'm like, well, you got to remember, Kyle's been working the dream for like 20 years right now. So I don't think that this is necessarily the dream. I think that this is just, you know. He feels pretty confident that he could make this work. Like, look, I think that that's about as far as it goes.
He grinded his manager skill up, and now right. He leveled up into owner. Like,
exactly. he upped his business acumen, threw some skill points into that. It's just, we're speaking nerd. We got to speak it to the masses.
there's a certain amount of dream involved, but the whole living the dream, I'm like, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm doing something I like, and I'm doing something that I know, which, you know...
It's one of those waking moments where you're like, this is kind of awesome, but at the same time, it's kind of unsettling.
Yeah, ask me how many times I get panic attacks about how my whole existence now relies on people coming into my store.
Well, I remember the panic attack about like local competition when you're just like, I just don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, you'll be fine. You'll be, you know, like there's really nothing impressive happening here. And you're just like, but what if we had like a 4-hour conversation about the what ifs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and I have to work through it. I mean, I wasn't scared that I was going to go out of business in 3 days. It was more of a, well, that was a curveball. I just didn't see that coming.
Yeah, absolutely. But so you are opening on April 1st.
Allegedly.
Oh, allegedly. Well, I'll be in town to help. So hopefully.
Yeah. No.
April Fool's joke. I mean,
here's... This is the thing that sucks with everything, is everything takes just a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And because we have to be ready to be open before the fire police can come in and tell me that I'm allowed to be open, that might actually delay it by 2 or 3 days, which means it'll be like the 3rd or the 4th or something like that. It all depends on when we have everything ready, because we have to have a fully operational battle station before they will show up, mm-hmm. as it were, in the parlance of our times. So if that happens on, say, Wednesday, where I can with confidence phone them, I might be able to be open for Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. If that's not ready till Thursday or Friday, then it's going to be, well, not an April 1st opening. Surprise!
See, now, if you had said fully armed and operational battle station, well, then I would have had more respect for you. And that would have maybe been the parlance of our times.
We're not going to be fully stocked on day one. So that's why we just didn't feel fully armed was proper.
Fair enough. So the name of your store, the same.
Where is the exhaust vent located?
There's a thermal exhaust port, and there's going to be multiple thermal exhaust ports right around the magic table. You got to keep a fan airing that area out. But your store going to be named after your blog.
After my blog, yep. Imaginary Wars, Gaming and Hobbies. And we're not going to be like the hugest miniature store. That's a conscious effort on my part, because I do see how guys who get heavy on miniatures and they try and carry 50 different miniature games and the full lines for everything, they just struggle and struggle and struggle. So I'm going to be more of a carry a few things that I really, really like that I know other people really like, and carry other stuff as well to float the boat whenever everyone's done buying miniatures in the moment.
Right.
So
And then you had made comments about, you know, kind of gaming accessories as well with regards to various painting lines, texturing, the types of things that aren't readily available outside of, you know, weird internet purchases.
And that's definitely one of the things that we're going to be striving for. I mean, if I'd opened my store 2 years ago, I would have been the first guy in town carrying Battle Foam. But everyone's got it now, so that's not really what I'm going for. But I'm going for that caliber of stuff. Just things that people don't know anything about. Like, I'm the only guy in town that's going to carry Bane Legions. So I don't know if you know anything about this stuff, but if you like your Warhammer Fantasy, there's a few models in there that are fucking awesome. And if you play Beastmen, that's like, you could buy your whole army from them, because they have like 2/3 of their line is Beastmen models.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of fortunate, but...
I was going to say, for like, what, 4 years, Beastmen had an army book with 3 monsters. The Games Workshop thought, eh, fuck it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So...
I would like to argue that for 3 years, Games Workshop just thought, ah, fuck it. And not necessarily about Beastmen.
I think they've been phoning it in for more than 3 years.
Well, I was going to say, like, I've been thinking that recently because, I mean, we do a wargaming podcast and it is primarily Games Workshop. We do kind of branch outside of Games Workshop, but not, you know, 1 in 10 episodes. We kind of branch outside of Games Workshop. And, you know, that's just because they're the juggernaut, right? They're the 800-pound gorilla. And it's very much, I was sitting here in the studio thinking to myself, damn, they haven't really done anything in the last few months, have they? It's really been dry. Like, even going to their website and trying to look for stuff, like you go to advanced orders and new releases for both Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000, both pages are just empty. You know, they're putting out more bullshit hobby equipment. You know, you can go pay $150 for 8 butter knives and some brushes, you know, like it's... Mm-hmm. it's you kind of wonder what they're doing with themselves, considering how much they have to work for, right? But whatever. I mean, it's absolutely.
Hey, you're totally right, though. I mean, since Vampire Counts, there's really been nothing.
There's been
even
nothing.
Then, before Vampire Counts, that between Grey Knight, between Vampire Counts, what did they do? They fine casted up some Lord of the Rings models, and that was it. Like, you're just like, really, fine cast? This is where you're betting the farm?
Mm-hmm.
You've had to come up with 2 different products to try to compensate for how shitty your quality is with liquid green stuff and super glue thick. You know,
but that's super glue thick. That's brand new. That's never been around before, has it?
No,
like that's revolutionary, I think.
Oh, it totally. Hold on, I'll go to their blog and see what they have to say.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Don't. All right, so, you know...
I can't wait till they announce to the world that they've discovered a new medium to replace, you know, resin, and that's lead. Who'd ever thought?
Who'd
my
ever
God.
Thought lead and pewter, right? It's so much easier to cast. You get less
my
miscast.
God, we have changed the world again.
It's heavier, less brittle. Okay, so I was just going to toss out here. I know we've said multiple times that we would never have a Jaded Gamer Cast sponsor and we wouldn't accept sponsors, but fuck all of you who are thinking that, because this is kind of more the opposite. This is Jaded Gamer Cast sponsoring his store in more ways than one. But
we might not even give him that slogan,
good thing.
Fuck all of you. I mean,
That's the Jaded Gamercast bump, right? Like that's what you need. I hear that helps in most tournament settings. Not all of them, obviously, but most tournament settings.
We're about 50-50.
We're about 50-50. It's not so bad. We'll see what happens at Warhammered if everybody falls out at the last minute. I'm really excited for the store that's opening up and, you know, kind of a lot of the conversations that we've had. Are you planning on doing anything more with your blog or kind of that web community promotional type stuff with the store opening up? You're going to be at the Calgary Comic Expo as well, right?
We're going to be at the Calgary Comic Expo and we're going to have a pretty – we're going to be giving away a shopping spree as part of our trying to get more people onto our blog, coming to the blog and whatnot. So if you visit me – at the Comic Expo, you get an entry, and if you like us on Facebook, then you get another entry. And we haven't set the value yet, but we're looking at around $500 or more.
Mm.
So if you want to shop for stuff and you want to use someone else's money, you should come check me out at the Calgary Comic Expo. I believe I'm booth 350, or
awesome.
Is it 310? I'm in the book either way. If I was prepared for this, I would have checked out my double checked my email. But
you run a game store; you don't have to be prepared for anything.
Right, I'm the boss.
Podcasts. I mean,
pretty much. Oh God. Okay, so we're gonna kind of shoot the shit a little bit this episode and talk about gaming and local stores and kind of things of that nature. Kyle, as he has been putting his store together, as far as I know, doesn't really game all that much anymore. So it was like when we had Ward on the show, and it was just like, Ward, when was the last time you played a game of fantasy? Never. Right. There you go. Thanks for running tournaments, Ward.
This year has been... Well, no, I did some gaming in January, and then things have just been going too fast since then. But in January, I got about three games. No, but January, February, I got about three games of Flames of War in. And that's it.
Good times. Matchbox Woo! Stars. All right, so I'm going to read an email here real quick. So this came in from a friend of ours, Mr. Mike Frank. And it was kind of poignant because it did kind of mesh with what we wanted to talk about here. And I feel like it is going to kind of branch out into at least an interesting conversation one way or another. He asks about the family. He's a nice guy. He's very classy like that. But anyways, he says, all good here. Let me tell you a little story and then let me get your opinion. I recently purchased a 40K army online. It's new in box, and I bought it from eBay at about $300 less than buying from a store. I did not have the money to spend at the local store. When I told the guys at my local gaming club / store that I did buy a new army and mentioned I bought it on eBay, they were pissed off. They told me that I should only buy local to help support the store so that they could actually have a club. I explained my situation and asked them if they bought everything here as well. They said no, which is awesome.
Wow.
Keep in mind, these are the same guys who let people proxy toilet paper rolls for cannons. How does that help the local club / store? This is the only purchase I've made outside of the local store since I've been here, and now they tell me I'm not helping or loyal to the store. I ask you this, should gamers only ever buy from a local store? And if so, what happens when people move like I did? I did not buy my Empire army in that store, so should I not play there because I didn't support the local club or store? I think it would be a great topic for your store, or a great topic for your show. By the way, I bought Space Wolves. Ugh. Mike.
My respect for Mike has gone down.
Yeah,
because of Space Wolves.
Dude, Mike was the first guy I knew that did like the whole Imperial Fist, yeah. Like, fuck, you know, everything's going to be yellow all the time. And they looked great. So Space Wolves, really? Really?
I just think it's funny that
Space Wolves have got some yellow in them.
Yeah, they do have some yellow in them. Okay, so I think that this is a bit of an interesting topic.
So Space Wolves are catchers. Is that when they have yellow in them?
Wait, what color? Yes. What color is your sperm, Nathan? Because that, I think maybe you're eating too much pineapple. That's a little disconcerting, to say the least. Mine is white, Kyle.
See, I was just thinking that maybe they liked Asians. Creamy. That's all.
Mine's like a creamy butter beige.
I prefer the term butterscotch lozenge.
Oh God. Okay, so I feel like this is an interesting topic because my initial reaction to this was, no, fuck local stores. If they can't keep up, it's their own damn fault. And again, like, there's a lot that goes into that, you know, but again, my initial reaction is if you can save $300 buying it someplace else, you know, like, you can't hold it against that person for buying it for $300 less. You know, I mean, if you're going around the corner and buying it in a back alley for $2 less, well, then, yeah, maybe sure you could say, like, dude, just spend the extra $2, give it to the store, they need it, you know. But I feel like the environment's changed so much for gaming shops that, you know, if you're not able to compete with the internet, then you're never going to be able to compete. You know, like, you can have loyal customers. Like, I'm loyal to the Games Workshop, one of the Games Workshops here in Edmonton, and I tend to go there whenever I want to buy GW products. I don't buy it online, even though I'm able to get it for cheaper. But that's not because I'm loyal to Games Workshop. It's because I'm loyal to the people who work there and my friends that I have who work there. On second thought, after my initial fuck local stores internal monologue, I thought, well, Kyle's opening up a store there, so am I going to say, well, fuck Kyle's store, you know, and all that kind of stuff when it comes to purchasing product? Like, how loyal am I to him and his store, considering this isn't, you know, Kyle managing a Games Workshop. This is Kyle opening, running, and managing his own store. It's his own money on the line, right? So it's that, it's a very different situation. I mean, before I push past that, what do you guys feel about that?
Okay, I'll go first. Anybody's going to be quiet.
I'm cogitating right now.
See, for me, I don't blame anyone that, you know, buys an army not from the local store. I mean, not everyone makes shit tons of cash, and we all know that Games Workshop is the Prada of hobbies. You know, they've priced themselves there. They literally want to be the designer hobby. So a lot of people can't afford it. And that's just the truth. For me, would I do that? No. Because, again, I make enough money that I'm just like, you know, I can afford it. And I've stopped buying whole armies at a time. I'll buy a box or two here, box or two there. Although, if I do get a really great sale at a store that I enjoy, I'll usually stock up and then just go trade product out at the local Games Workshop.
Over the next year or so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, over the next year. Well, yeah, because, like, that's the thing. It's just like, oh, I'll totally support the store that I want. But I will never.
It's like buying a really shady credit card.
Hey. No, but I mean, you know, like you said, for me, at the end of the day, paint your shit. That's what matters to me. I mean, fucking cannons as toilet paper rolls. That's when you flip the table. You just fucking flip that shit because that is bullshit. But you going out saving money on, you know, on this ridiculous hobby, especially when you're still going to be buying your paints and your brushes and your fucking primers from this local store, because it's not like you're going to eBay that.
Well, no, but what it comes down to is that product was already sold by Games Workshop. They got their money. It doesn't matter what it's resold for. Games Workshop, it's not like they went and stole that out of the warehouse and sold it to you for $300 cheaper, although if it did, you should be ashamed of yourself there, Mike. But, you know, like, Games Workshop has already been paid for this product. It doesn't matter if it's being resold. It's like buying a painted army online.
Is his store, is his local store a Games Workshop, or is his local store some dude who owns a store?
I believe it's some dude who owns a store.
Now, well, I would think so if they're using toilet paper as cans, but I thought I'd just clarify store. For that. But,
well, you know, West End's gone down in years.
I mean, I was going to ask if he just moved to the West End of town and decided to call a different city, but,
Hey-o. That joke's not funny to anybody else listening to the podcast. So,
no, heck, it's not funny to anyone.
Pick it up, Kyle. Come on, say something funny. Wizzle wuzzle. Make it happen.
I'm on the spot. I can't say
anything
funny.
Let the
now.
Scotch talk.
Oh, my God.
Think your
the
glass
scotch must
quickly.
Flow. That didn't work.
Jesus. Did you just knock the mic over?
I tried to clink with the mic.
You could have just clicked your glass.
Here we go.
Hey,
Scotch. You know, I'm pretty torn on the whole thing because I'm going to be that guy running a store, and the moment if you're a store guy and you hit a cash flow crunch, then suddenly you really need guys to be spending money at your store so you can make your store better, or you're just that guy that kind of. You're carrying miniatures because there's some guys that buy the stuff and you're just kind of like, okay, I'll order in stuff. But you don't have a mind for it. You don't really care about it unless it's making you wads of cash. So it depends which one of those is. That's kind of how I feel about it. The internet's been around for a long time. The guys in his group talking about, you know, you got to be loyal to the store, blah, blah, blah. That is something that was a lot more relevant in the late 90s, early 2000 when the suppliers weren't watching who they were selling to, and so suddenly stores were going out of business because there was no protections in place. I think now it's not as much of an issue. I mean, I'll be eating those words, I'm sure, 3 months from now when guys are always coming and telling me how they scored great deals. But I would think that if he's a good store owner, he would be knowing enough about his guys. So he would be running the store, so guys would think that this is the best place in the world and they want to support the store. And if they can't afford stuff, they'd be talking and seeing if the guy would make them a bit of a deal or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's kind of what I would be thinking.
Well, and I mean, I think that like you said, this was a lot more prevalent, you know, 10 years ago before the internet was what it is now and kind of everything that goes in with it and the way retailers view the internet. But, you know, the issue was not necessarily we got to support the local store because we don't want this guy to go out of business or we're not going to have any place to game. It was kind of more of the issue of we're not going to be able to get our hands on the product anymore if this place closes. And that's just not the case anymore. Everyone has access to the internet. Everyone's able to order stuff. And you're always going to be competing with internet prices, right? I mean, a lot of times, you know, an internet business has to price things a lot lower and then provide free shipping for anybody to look at it and say like, okay, I'm willing to wait 2 weeks for this. as opposed to driving out to their local Games Workshop and having it into their hot little hand, you know, or their local gaming store and having it in their hot little hand that day and ready to go with it as that adrenaline is still pumping.
And that's the crux of it. We're all miniature gamers, and we all – the mindset of a miniature guy is when I see something, I want to get it now. I don't want to open up a catalog and write down all the codes.
Oh, are you saying that we have issues with, you know, controlling our impulses?
Yeah. Well, so, I don't know about controlling impulses, but we're definitely driven by instant gratification, right?
Yeah.
Now, a question for you on this topic. Are you going to have stock in your store? Are you just going to have a computer that will allow me to – order stock that you will eventually get into your store?
Well, I've been looking into the business models, and apparently what I need for a store is a painting table where I charge you to play and paint, and I have two computers, one to take in money and one for you to look at things to give me money with. And apparently it works great. I've sort of extrapolated the ramifications of this, and I could make a worldwide company just on this business model.
Oh, wow. Sarcasm.
I just need some venture capital. That's all I need right now.
No, I agree,
Kyle. But there's this interesting tool that makes it possible. It's called the internet. I don't know.
I don't really know.
Yeah, it's so underground that I'm not even sure it exists.
Hipsters are on it. That's about it.
That's how underground it is. Oh, Jesus. But yeah, you know, it does come down to the idea that you're not just competing locally, and you're not competing for the fact that people are coming to your store specifically to get this stuff because they have no other option to get it. I mean, there's always going to be people out there who don't have credit cards, and let's be perfectly honest, there's still about 50% of the gamers don't have actual credit cards, so ordering online is actually not a possibility for them. But you know, I do kind of keep coming back to this idea of just like, but fuck the local stores, because there are only so many of them here in E-Town that I actually would even so much as walk into because I've had so many bad experiences in them. And even, you know, Games Workshop, some of them I've said, like, I'm just not going to go back into that store. You know, like, it's just because that it's run poorly. The people are, you know, aren't courteous, or you have to deal with gamer funk, or, you know, you're constantly dealing with people who aren't able to get you stock when they say they're going to be able to get you stock. You know, so if you do it right, you shouldn't have that problem keeping people. But, you know, gamers tend to have that green personality, right? If I'm going to go throw my corporate lingo at you and colors colors training, which I know Nathan will get. You know, gamers are green.
I'm convinced you're telling me they all garden.
Yes. They are very conscientious about the environment. Yeah, they also recycle. Which is why we love the aerosol sprays.
Yes, very much so. Axe body spray.
Yeah, that's... No, they don't love those. Store owners love those.
But no, like, what I'm saying is, like, in that green personality is it's just like, oh, yeah, they'll be totally loyal to you until the first time you fuck up, and then they're done with you. Mm-hmm. Right? And so that's kind of always the battle you're going to be fighting is... these are people who are going to hold grudges, and they're going to push back on you, and they're going to essentially, as soon as you break that trust that they have in you as a retailer, they're just not coming back because there are other options out there right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I mean, you know, even if we're going to look at it from the other side of things of, oh, hey, you know, these people are legitimately concerned for this store, closing or whatever, even though Mike bought a whole army, as I was saying earlier, he's going to buy all of his hobby supplies from this store when he inevitably changes his list. Because as we all know, you know, if you're a longtime gamer and you play with this army, the things you thought on paper before you started are not necessarily going to work the same way you thought they were going to. And you're going to evolve your list. You're going to buy new products. That shit he's going to buy from his local store. So, I mean, like, you know, for me...
Yeah, if his local store is doing it right? Like, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but absolutely. They're doing it right. So, I mean, like, that's the thing where it's just like, will I fault a man for saving $300? Fuck no. I mean, again, it comes back to GW shit is very, very expensive. But at the end of the day, no one drops money like a GW gamer working a new army. Because even though he saved $300, he probably still dropped at least $500 because we know the prices.
And I mean, one of the big rules you have to cling to when you're a guy running a store is that nothing is personal. Like, money is not personal. If a guy saves some money, you don't take it personally. You're just like, right, well, where do I move forward from here? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I'm not sure if the gamer buddies even get. And I'm sure the owner there kind of care that much.
No. I think the gamer's buddy, as far as I'm concerned, it comes down to just a serious issue of pretentious attitude. They're always going to come back to this and say, like, what are you doing? And they're going to shake their finger and they're going to become very high and mighty about it because there's this ideal in their head that, oh, well, you're not supporting the local gaming group. And I don't even think that they have a goal to having those bitch fests about you didn't buy your shit. You know, it's just – it's that reaction. It's the gut reaction is they know better than everyone else. And, again, this is the way gamers are, right? So, I mean, it's like – I wouldn't take it – definitely wouldn't take it to heart. And I know that I've had people, especially when I worked for Games Workshop, who would come into the store – excuse me – and they would say, you know, hey, I'm trying to sell my army. Do you know anybody who would want to buy it? And boy, I got pissed off where I was just I was just like, how dare you? Like, you know, you're trying to ruin our business and you're trying to do this and that. And that was just always kind of the instant reaction, which was, you know, don't peddle your wares here, you know, gypsy. It was – the opposite, you know, whereas it's just like, no, but Games Workshop.
I think you meant Klingon.
Klingon, yeah, fair enough. Same thing. Gypsies of the sky ever since their home planet was destroyed. You remember Kronos when Kronos detonated? And then that was all the thing. We all knew the Klingon Empire was going to die in 5 years if they didn't join the Federation. Just me? All right, anyways.
Listen, I'm catching every reference you're making. I'm just choosing to shake my head.
Star Trek 5, people, Undiscovered Country. Let's move on.
Star Trek 6 was Undiscovered Country. Fucking noob.
Oh, no, 5 was the
Final
where they,
Frontier.
Where they punched God.
Yes, where they punched God.
I haven't even seen Star Trek 5.
No, Star Trek 6, Undiscovered Country, the absolute low point for Christopher Plummer. But anyways, before Aragon, I apologize, before Aragon. But okay, getting back to this.
Anyway.
I think the initial reaction is wrong, and that's kind of the problem. But it's also very understandable to have that initial reaction. But, you know, what I keep coming back to is this product was purchased from Games Workshop. They got their money, or it was purchased from here and there. Just because that profit margin isn't coming back into that store doesn't mean that your game is going away. Now, the other thing that he mentioned, which I think is something I want to talk about, is, you know, there's this fear that they're going to lose their gaming spot. Right? That if this store closes, the gaming spot goes away and then their club goes away because there's no opportunity to game, which, you know, is legitimate, but is the fear really that founded? Is this a component to a store shutting down?
No, but I mean, at that point, it's selfish.
Oh, that was a question.
Oh, see, Kyle thought it was a statement. It's so weird. No, but I mean, like, at that point, you're looking at selfish motivations. You know, they're going to shame Mike because they don't want the store to close because of their gaming space, because God forbid they have to try to find alternate arrangements. You know, God forbid someone build a table in their house and, you know, everyone paint a piece of scenery. Like, it's just like, to me, that's such a shallow excuse because, you know,
if I could interject for half a sec, that is the funniest thing ever, because as you know, the store I worked at had two shops, one in different cities, sorry. And the guys at the other shop up in like the wild lands of Countrystan, Colombia, they were always like, no, we won't sell any scenery in our store because we don't want guys to take scenery home and make up their own gaming tables. We want to make sure they game in our store. And I was just like, you guys really have no clue how this works.
Because you know,
they
is,
refused. They would carry no scenery. Yeah, they're like, no, we don't carry trees. No, we don't carry buildings. People ask what we'll get in, otherwise we won't. No scenery on the like, no for sale scenery whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow, that's hilarious because
that's that small mindset of, oh my god, if they put gaming tables in their basements, they'll never come back. And it's like,
except to buy more stuff from you.
Except to meet new people, you know, it's just everything. You know, gaming in your basement just means that you're going to do it after 9 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah, that's the truth.
No, right, that's what it is. You know, when I gamed at Vets Nights very regularly, it was the here's my gaming hours. And then after that was done, I still went off, you know, to Buddy's basement or whatever it was. And we would go and we would game. And that's the way that we would do it. Right. But like, I think that, you know, to look at this and say like, oh, our gaming club hinges on the idea that this store remain open. You know, like, is it going to be a little bit harder? Do you have to put the work in? Yes, absolutely. But You know, it's not like you're suddenly just going to give up the hobby because your local store closed and you can't use their tables.
And I mean, fuck me. I mean, $300 is a fucking spit in the ocean over a year of sales.
Yeah.
Like I said, if the guy is not actually super struggling where he needs every penny so he can turn it around and get more product and kind of get himself back on the map, he's not going to care. Really, he's
not.
Well,
at that point, he's doing something wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Like the most he's going to care is he's going to be emotional about how he could have made how he could have made that kind of money. But really, $300? I mean, if it's a decent game store, the guy's pulling in $30,000 to $40,000 a month. Now that's gross. That's not profit. But that's, you know, that $300 suddenly doesn't look so big. One, you know, guys doing that sporadically isn't going to hurt you. But when guys develop a culture of always just shopping the internet and gaming your store, that's totally different, but it doesn't sound like that's going on. It just sounds like here and there they buy stuff when it's a sweet fucking deal, and
well, yeah, because
the store is still there.
Even as Mike said, you know, all of the people that are shaming him, they themselves have purchased features not from that store. So I mean, you know, I think what Kyle points out, you know, it has a
and
great
as opposed
point.
To purchasing a Canon, they buy toilet paper.
Sex. Well, I mean, you're gonna buy toilet paper anyway. The
well,
fact
hey,
you
whoa,
get
whoa,
this
whoa,
sweet
you know,
Canon
you,
at
know,
the end.
You know why they're doing that with toilet paper, though, right? No GST on toilet paper. It's an essential.
And seriously, if you're going to buy something to wipe your ass with, you buy Sisters of Battle. But moving on, what we're going to do...
Hey-o! Pointy.
Is that technically scat? Okay, so...
We have been downloaded every bodily fluid this episode.
We almost have. Somebody get into discharge quickly. Okay, so let's I had a point that I was going to make.
Did I ever tell you
want to go to higher learning yet?
No, cuz we totally skipped it, didn't we?
We sure did.
Ah, fuck it. We'll do higher learning next episode. Okay. But what I was going to say is honestly, the store owner needs to realize that having this attitude of shaming people into buying your product or knowing that people in your store are shaming people who are buying stuff outside of your store is a huge negative influence on their purchasing. If somebody's coming in there and they give you shit because the kid showed up with, you know, the army that he bought from his friend as opposed to buying it new out of the store and he's getting shamed for it. You know, they're not going to be coming back to buy from you. Like, there's no motivation to put that effort in, right? They're excited about the army they bought. They're excited to get in there and game. They're excited to try out new things. And as Nathan says, you know, you're going to build your list. You're going to change it. You're going to buy new stuff going forward from that. But you're essentially killing that motivation by turning it into, you know, the witch hunt where you're you know, stringing people up because they said they saved $300.
Yeah.
See, I was trying to count how long that silence.
I was going to say you can't.
I was debating whether I should agree with you or keep going on the every bodily fluid tangent and tell you a story about how Red Fisher owned Yorktown, Saskatchewan. Which would you like, A or B?
Nathan.
One involves me agreeing, and the other involves talking about every bodily fluid ever.
No, but you can't just shoehorn bodily fluids into a conversation. It has to be
I believe I just did.
It has to flow. You can't just rape the conversation, Kyle.
I know. I'm following up on the tangent that someone else threw out there.
By someone else, you mean me.
Yeah.
Right on. Fair enough. But no, go ahead and agree. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I support you entirely.
You need to drink more.
Anyways, like I said, I think the big problem is if it's the players, who the fuck cares? If it's the owner, well, is he angry because there's this culture in his store of guys just buying everything on the internet and then playing in his store? In which case, he's got every right to be pissed off, and he needs to work on how to figure out what to do so it stops. But it sounds like
pissed off get him.
It just sounds like it's the players and not even the owner.
Yeah.
So it's just fuck off. Like, you know, it's
mind your own fucking business.
Or at least practice what you preach. I mean,
yeah,
you know, there's a nice double standard there. And it's the whole, like, my thoughts on supporting your stores, you absolutely do it. But you support, I mean, everyone's a lot smarter consumer now, and you support the stores who deserve it. I mean, the store I last worked at, everything was a little bit more expensive than it needed to be. But we had a very loyal clientele because we were actually kind of an awesome store. So guys would just be like, you know what? I don't care if I'm paying 10% more because every time I go there, I have a good experience. And there's four other stores in town where that doesn't happen. So you know what? I will pay a little bit extra to always like shopping. And, you know, so there, I'm done. Someone agree with me?
Yeah, I agree.
You support me entirely?
Yes. I
disagree. I don't have any reason why.
Now, fuck you.
You're an idiot. But yeah, okay. So kind of, you know, let's wrap that up a little bit here.
It's a big conversation, but I think it's also a big circle. You just kind of keep going back from, yes. I think we've gone in a circle already a couple times. It's just,
well, I mean, at the end of the day, the gamers need to mind their own fucking business and shut the fuck up. And as Kyle said, practice what you preach. I mean, if you are the kind of person that buys absolutely everything from the store and nothing ever, you know, anywhere else ever, then good on you. But shut the fuck up about it and don't rub my face in it.
Well, even if you do, who the fuck cares, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't need the pretentious bullshit. Like, we already have enough problems to deal with in a community, especially if it's a small gaming community, right? Like, yep. All you're doing is singling people out and creating this little elitist corner, you know, clique of people that you feel like deserve to have this club or, you know, and then you separate them out into who's ruining it and who's not. It's stupid. It's a mess, you know. Let people game. Games Workshop's not going anywhere, so, you know, hey, that's the way it goes. If the guy's doing this stuff right, he's fine. Like Kyle said, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah,
he's more happy about the guy coming in and playing in his store than he is about, you know, whether or not he made that $300.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in the whole thing, I think Mike Frank is right in what he did. And if it's not this recurring habit of doing it, then who cares? Like, it just doesn't matter. He's done more for the store by showing up to play and show the games off to potential people. And Mike's a good guy. He'd be one of those guys where if someone asked him what's going on, he would actually give a good answer rather than the fucktards that say stuff like, well, this is just a game. You wouldn't understand. No, leave me alone. I'm trying to win. You know, and it just he's one of those guys where him spending that $300 is just going to work out that much better for the store anyways. Yeah. You know, and very much what Nathan said. So that's my long-winded answer as to whether he's right or wrong. And he's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, so let's move on to the stupidity check for this week. Kyle, you are the guest, so dig in.
Well, obviously it's got to be with Games Workshop.
Yes. Why wouldn't it be?
And
Lang
really
has
it's
a point.
Yeah, it's I'm focusing in on their paints, the newly announced paints, and it's kind of I think it's multi-pronged stupidity check because there's a lot of dumb things going on. I think the first thing is, for me as a store, I found out officially, I mean, I saw the links a few days ago, but I found out officially this morning when I logged onto Games Workshop's website that my store has got 7 days to figure out how they're going to afford to buy 6 of each color of $145 paints, $145 paint line. I talked to my rep 2 days ago, and she's like, oh, we're going to be announcing something at the end of the month. That's kind of all I can tell you. I was like, but I've seen stuff. It's 145 paints. She's like, I have nothing official, so I can't really tell you. So I'm like, okay, well, I get you have nothing official. But this whole 7-day out thing, even for retailers, like I cannot believe that the way they're doing things is nobody needs to know anything before anyone other than the I don't know, the secret circle of guys in Britain who decide everything that happens. Because, I mean, for me as a store owner, 145 paints is something like $2,500 investment, and that just gets dropped on me. I don't get told the paints are coming. You know, it's going to be a big thing. It's just there. You go. You got 7 days. Figure it out. And
yeah,
so it's just, you know, it's not a huge thing, but wow, that what a bombshell to break with. And you've got 7 days because it's going to everyone else is going to have theirs. So you want to make sure you have yours.
well, I mean, we've said it
God,
multiple
it
times.
Like,
they
it,
could
it
give a
like,
shit.
Yeah,
oh, that's for sure. The truth,
but they could give a shit.
It really feels like the Games Workshop, you know, attitude towards their rogue traders, right? Their independent retailers. It really feels like peer pressure from high school. Oh no, yeah. You totally want to smoke. I mean, we're all smoking. Everyone else is smoking. Here, try one. Oh, yeah. By the way, you have to decide right now. and I mean, it's just. It's just so juvenile. I mean, like, really, who runs a business like this?
Well, you know.
Well, the Prada of hobbies, excuse me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, I've said it. I have said it before on this podcast. They're trying their damnedest to be Apple. And that's really what it is. Because, I mean, Apple does that fun kind of shit where it's just like, look, everybody, iPad 3. And it's on sale in 3 days. Go nuts. You know, and like that's what they do. And I really think that that's what Games Workshop is looking at. Because they're just like, oh, wow. Apple's the most profitable company in the world right now. So if we're them, we'll be the second most profitable company in the world. Winning. And they don't get that they're in two completely different markets.
Well, and I mean, the idea behind that business model is that Apple is able to release these things to their retailers, specifically the Apple retailers, right? You're not going to see the iPad 3 showing up at your local Target or your local Zellers or whatever it is, you know, wherever you're located. You know, because you have to go to the Apple store. You have to order it from their site because everyone else isn't going to be able to get it for the next week or two because they aren't able to order it in time. So, you know, if you look at this and you look at the paints and you say, you're like, yeah, they're only giving you 7 days notice. Well, that's because they're going to have it on the release day. And then you're not going to have it for another few days. So people who really want to get their hands on it, well, they're going to go to the Games Workshop because that's the only place where it's going to be available. Is it stupid, though? Yes, it goes right back into like what Nathan's saying. And what we've said multiple times is that they kind of have this view of independent retailers of like, eh, they're there, but we really don't, you know, we provide product to them begrudgingly, you know, because we have to.
Terry has said it in countless times where she thinks all the Lord of the Rings price increases are so that you can stand two products that are very similar side by side. And just say, well, why would you go with this one? You know, why would you play Lord of the Rings when, look, this box of four guys is $50 and I can give you 20 plastic infantry models for your Empire army for the same price?
Is that four Aragorns, though?
No. We all know four Aragorns is going to be like 100. I mean, that's Aragorn for reals, yo. No, but I mean, and I really feel like, yeah, that pressure on independent retailers is designed to do two things, in my opinion. The first is, like you were saying, make it so that independent retailers can't get their hands on it because they know that their Games Workshop store will have it. They know with, you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt that they will have the full range. So if your store doesn't have it, they will steal your business. And the other thing that they're trying to do, and I think this is what's most despicable, is that they're trying to get independent retailers to impulse buy their own product because, like you had said earlier, Lank, Games Workshop's getting paid either way.
Yep.
Like, they don't give a fuck. If you're buying it from them, they get paid. If you're buying it from the Games Workshop store, they get paid. They do not give a fuck one bit. But what they're really trying to do is make you as a store owner impulse buy it and then make you eat that cost because they get their paycheck.
Yep.
And I mean, like, that to me is where it's just like, no, you know what? Fuck you. Like, that is.
Well, and what's interesting is 9 months ago, Workshop used to tell all the stores 3 months out what was coming up. So you always had this, you know, 2 to 3 month sort of window of being able to plan stuff. And, you know, if you want to do pre-orders, you could do pre-orders. If you didn't, you just want to make sure you knew what month would be heavy and budget yourself, you would know. And now they've just, you know, gotten rid of all of that. So anyways,
I'm sure they've just fired people.
Yeah, well, it's what they do, right? Somehow it just keeps
you start
making
working
money
for them.
Yeah,
the clock starts.
Hey, we're welcome to, you know, great to have you on board. We're really excited to have you here. Just so you know, we can fire you at any time.
Don't look at me that way. If I have to tell you two more times not to, you're fired.
That's a written warning. No, I mean, but you were also saying kind of the flip side of this stupidity check on Games Workshop.
No, let me finish. I've got my other 2 points.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, we got to get to the delayed stupidity check.
Point two is just like the absolute stupidity check of, so this paint, the new paints are coming out. They just got announced today. Well, just yesterday I got my shipment, which has two of the old Warhammer Fantasy paint sets in there. So I know.
Fuck.
Now, they threw this at me. They threw this at me with the Tomb Kings thing. Tomb Kings were announced. I hadn't had a Codex, an army book on my shelf for a while, so I ordered one. They sent it to me. The next day after I got it, they announced the new book coming out, and I was like, what the fuck is wrong? Like, why? Like, how? How do you guys let this happen? And the guy's like, we just don't know. Yeah. Oh, and they're just like, well, you got to understand, they don't tell us anything. I'm like, yeah, I'm not mad at my rep because they don't know anything. They're kept in, you know, in a bubble of isolation as well. But like, what the heck, like, what kind of customer service is that?
Yeah, that happened with my Lizard Men too. I think I had my Lizard Men book 2 weeks before they announced the new book.
Yeah, and you just thrown over the pen, like, that's incomprehensible. I mean, because they've printed this thing for a long time, you know, like, they can send out an internal memo saying, if you talk about the new book, you're going to be fired. Just tell people there's no more of the old book and we're reprinting and it's at the printer. You know, there's ways you can get around doing this. I mean, they want to fire you for 20 other reasons. What's wrong with making it 21 reasons?
Wonderful.
So that's just me just going, ah, fuck, what the hell? Anyways, the third one is, I guess we call it the delayed stupidity check. And that is just, again, the paints. We've all worked at Workshop, and we've seen every 1 to 2 years, 5 to 10 paints being removed from their line till they got down to, I guess it was 75.
Well, they always chopped out
green.
Yeah, they always chopped out the bottom selling paints. It was always, you know, how many blues do we have? How many pinks do we have? How many greens do we have? Let's take the bottom selling paints and let's cut them out of the range to save money.
And that works. I mean, I saw Glengarry Glen Ross. That's how car lots work. You know, bottom selling salesman gets fired. I don't care if you sold 10 cars this month. If you're on the bottom of the rung, you're gone. I don't care if it's 100 cars. You're gone. As long as you're the bottom guy.
No, but I mean, like, you're right. We have seen that. They basically just take the bottom-selling paints and they fucking axe them. I mean, they killed pinks altogether out of their range. They killed scaly green, which was probably the only unique green that you couldn't easily mix to create.
Yeah. Yep.
They've taken out metallics that are really good as mixed colors.
Leopard's brown.
Yeah, you know, so like I said, it's always been that issue where they're just like, oh, fuck it. We're only going to sell the best-selling paints because fuck everything else. So why the immediate 180 or not the immediate?
Well,
why the
what they're doing,
Kyle?
What they're doing, my theory is they've realized that the market has grown a lot. And I mean, again, I'm opening up a store. I'm suddenly realizing how many choices I have for paints. How many paint lines do I want to bring in? Like, there's a good 6 paint lines I could bring in. That's too much paint. So now I have to really pick and choose who I want to be in my store. Workshop, by going with 145, has now made it so I have to get rid of someone else.
Yeah.
So suddenly I'm being forced to get rid of other paint lines if I'm going to carry a workshop because the space it's going to take or the cost it's going to be or whatnot. So I just find it really, really interesting that's, you know, it's not really a stupidity check. Land calls it delayed stupidity check and how it took them all these years to suddenly realize that they've created this gap that all these other guys are more than willing to, you know, to fill with good paints. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they've realized out of nowhere, you know, and like I said before, like, so what I can't wait because pretty soon that means they're going to find out there's the internet and how they can use it to actually make themselves a good company rather than just a web store. I mean, they've got mm-hmm. a web store down, but, you know, they could do PDFs of their books and, you know, have no printing cost and only profit because they could sell the book for $10 as a PDF, but they won't do it, but they could.
Yeah. Oh, I've wondered why they haven't moved into ebooks for codices and rule books for the last 5 years.
Well, because their fear is that somebody is going to buy it for $10 and then print it, but they're going to print 3 copies for all of their friends.
Well,
like,
no,
it's...
No. I mean, Workshop is up on it. They've read up on Napster, right? And there's a lot of shit going on with Napster. That's nasty.
No, yeah, I mean,
but that's the pervading fear with any company that doesn't know what they're doing on the internet is they look at these things and they say, yeah, but that's what we're not selling because they're going to go and they're going to print this many of them and then nobody's going to have their rules. But what they don't realize is that the money that they would have spent on a rule book is just going to get spent someplace else, right? But what you're doing is you're promoting people getting into the game on it's a much easier level, right? I mean, even Firestorm Armada, Dystopian Wars, there's a couple other games as well where the majority of their rules are available online, like stats and things of that nature, but the actual rule book is quite small. And it's like, even if you didn't have your rule book online, you could still put the Codex and Army book for the armies online and have them be available. You know, people can't use them and still play the game without the rule book, so you're still forcing them to buy a rule book, but at least everything else is available. But no, the way that they run it, and, you know, but I mean, it's not like they're doing anything wrong because then we're all still suckers. We still buy them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's not necessarily the best pitch.
Yeah, you're all still suckers. You'll still pay it. But I mean, I think that's the thing is all Games Workshop ever looks at is lost sales. And I think Kyle hit the nail on the head when he said they're still going to get that money elsewhere, you know, because I've worked at Games Workshop. I've been there on the front line and I've seen people where it's just like, hey, do you have a codex? And they're like, no, I don't have the rules. I know I should buy it, but I really want another tactical squad. You know, I want to buy these models so that I can paint them.
Now
I can add them into my army.
Because I said paint them, right? No, because in 3rd and 4th edition, nobody bought tactical squads because they were the dumbest choice in the Marine Army.
Yes. 5th edition, right?
Fifth edition, they're good. I'm not saying that you're a liar now.
Heyo. No, but I mean, like that was the thing is I could say that at you know, when I worked with John Kingsway and when I worked at Chinook, I can honestly say that there was probably a good 4 or 5 people that simply did not own a rule book and they did not own their codex because they thought the models were so fucking cool and they were gonna spend their money on models. And when they would come, they'd only game in the store and they just borrow the store copies.
Yep.
And it's just like, hey, look, congratulations, Games Workshop, you're giving your rules for free. You know, it's just like I, as an employee, I wasn't going to tell them to don't use the store copies. Like, fuck them. They're buying models.
Yep.
Yeah, true enough.
So, I mean, like, that's the thing where it's just like, yeah, you're totally right. It's just like Games Workshop just does not understand that if they provide a service one place, they will see that money in another place. All they're looking at is, but if we give away codexes, what if we lose half of all of this money? Well, that's, we can't do that.
Well,
all of our customers are fucking thieves and pirates.
Well, and what's their profit margin on a rulebook
and
a
gypsies
codex?
And Klingons?
Yes,
gypsy Klingons.
Yes,
you know, Klingon when Kronos gypsies exploded, it was weird because like the shockwave wasn't actually like it didn't actually like it wasn't like a normal shockwave because they got hit by like 3 shockwaves and then like you saw like the teacup on the Excelsior and Christian Slater, but no, but. God damn it. Like what I was gonna ask is like do either of you guys know like what's the profit margin that they're pulling in on their paper products? Like what's the profit margin on a rule book or a codex? Like are they pulling in a few bucks per book? Like is that really what's you know going in their wallet? Like I know I remember the profit margin on a White Dwarf was something like what was it, like $1.50 or like $1.25? After shipping and after distributing and after the time hours put into it,
yeah, you know it's
there's a really very small profit margin.
It's a really tough one because it depends on what number if you want to believe their numbers to be true.
Yeah, I was going to say, really, are we talking graphs on gas pumps talking about how there's 2% profit, yeah. Or
well, it just means profit is $2 billion.
Somebody learned Excel.
But because I've looked at that and really what if you believe that they're running at a profit after production, because I mean, all the different divisions basically count as different businesses. So the guys in the factory hire people and they sell their stuff to the GW warehouse, essentially, like in the world of accounting. I don't know much about it, but that's the impression I get is how they kind of handle it, because it's the easiest way is the warehouse buys product and then sells it to the stores. And apparently, you know, at that point, the warehouse buys it at 40% or they sell it to stores at 40% of whatever the markup is. So if it was $10, they sell it to the stores for $4 and the stores sell it for $10. So, you know, if you assume that the warehouse is buying it and there's a profit margin in there, they're probably making something that costs $10 probably costs them somewhere between $2.50 and $3.50 to make. So, I mean, and their profit, they show at the end of the year, every year they're profitable. So it's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they're paying dividends.
Yeah, profit. Yeah, I mean, profit margin is tricky. I mean, because if I say they're making $6.50 per book, doesn't mean that every time the book comes up, that's like more dividends for someone. But it all builds up on that, right? So, but they're definitely making money. I mean, and they're not even shy about saying they're making money. But they are kind of talking about how their volume keeps going down.
Yeah,
they're not talking much about that. But that's another podcast, I suspect, and I'm not well versed enough on that. 3 more scotches and I'll be convinced
I don't think any of us are well versed on that. So I think that would be a very weird podcast of just
Lang
like us making up us making up numbers and facts. You know, like, did you know that every time
when Kronos exploded, workshop profits went up?
Did you know that 60% of the time it works every time?
That makes no sense.
But anyway, so when we're talking profit margins, I thought I'd throw that part in. So that I did pay attention to discounts when I saw stuff. And I remember when I was working at Workshop, they used to show what the store's cost on each product was. And they, you know, within 2 years of me working there, suddenly that it was just turned blank. And they're like, well, our accountants know. Why do guys in the front line need to know that the White Dwarf is being sold to John Kingsway for $4 an issue?
Right. All right. Well, I think that's pretty interesting. And yeah, kind of going back to the stupidity check. I think the delayed stupidity check is the one that really stands out for me just due to the fact that now all of a sudden we've got all these paints. And I was honestly looking at my stack of paints that I have on my little painting tray that I barely use anymore and I haven't used for years. And somebody sent to me like, oh, man, are you excited for those new paints? Like, I'm totally stoked. I'm really looking forward to getting these colors again.
And I'm just like, no, I'm not at all, actually.
Well, it was actually more of the thing of I just said to him, like, you know, I bought a pot of black and I think I bought a pot of like goblin green so that I could do the bases to match like what I had in my ogre army. But like, I almost never buy paints anymore. Like, I don't paint that much anymore that it's that big of a deal to me. So them coming out with like glazes and demi glazes and blazes and, you know, like lasers and blazers. Like, it's just, you know, like, hey, that's all great. Like, I know Jason was saying he was looking forward to using some of the glazes on some Firestorm Armada ships, oddly enough. I was just like, so like, I still don't get where the washes and the inks and the glazes separate. Like, where, what's the distinction that I'm going to get out of all of those?
You know, I bet you they're going to sell a book that will tell you that, though.
Is it just going to be a collection of White Dwarf
articles? I was going to say, you actually know they are selling a book.
I know. See, for me, the big question is, are they going to use the same stock photos they've used for the last two and just change all the names of the paints without changing the photos?
Because they
totally did that before. The best one I had was they had an Eldar Guardian, and 4 years ago, it was like, well, we primed them white, or we primed them this color, and then we dry brushed them white, and then we put the yellow ink over him and see how nice and bright and yellow he is. You're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I think they did him orange, and they dry brushed white, and then they did yellow ink over it. Then when they revamped the line and got rid of all their inks, they used the same photo, and then it was like, we used our Macarius Solar Orange as the base, and then we dry brushed white, and then we used Ogre Sepia, and look how yellow he is. And you're like, what? And it was the same picture. Like, it wasn't like sort of a, they tried to do the same thing. It's like, no, it was the exact same picture because I had both copies in my store when the thing was new. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So I am curious. Yeah, I'm curious if the new book has got all the same photos from the thing that they did 5 years ago or 8 years ago when they, you know, last.
You know. Bet it does.
It's just good business.
Well, what I mean, see, I want to add,
but
one,
yeah,
more
actually, I
check onto the paints though. Not to start.
I'm just having fun with that. I just
part
love,
four
just,
for sure.
Part four of the stupidity.
Definitely
check
part four.
Paints.
See, I think at this point it qualifies for the bukkakied with stupid.
Yes,
but and it also carries on the bodily fluid theme that we have going on.
Oh, you should have prefaced it. You should have just gone right into it.
Fair enough. But bukkakied with stupid. Why did they rename the existing paints? Because we know that they're expanding. We know that they're keeping all of their existing paints, and they're just changing the names of them. Why the fuck are you bothering? Because, I mean, I was going through looking at all the colors because, I enjoy painting models. And I'd be like, oh, they renamed Ultramarines Blue McCraig Blue. Why? Why bother? I mean, I can understand changing the labels. You've changed, you know, Games Workshop changes the Photoshop on their boxes every time an army gets released. That's great. Go nuts. But why on God's green earth did you change the names of your existing paints? Is it to convince me that I need to buy another Fortress Gray? Because now it's called something else?
Castle Gray?
Grayskull? Yeah, Castle Grayskull. But I mean, like,
I think Grayskull is the glaze.
Oh, No, but I mean, you know, for me, I think that that's a massive stupidity check, because it feels very underhanded. It feels like Games Workshop is trying to sell me the paint I already own, instead of saying, hey, look, everybody, we've expanded the paint range. We've kept Skull White. We've kept Enchanted Blue. We've kept all of the colors that you know and that you paint with now. But look, because there were 72 in the current range and now there's 145, go out and buy the 73 that you're missing. You know, instead, they're talking like every single paint is brand new and they've never sold a white paint before. The shades of blue that they have as bases and layers and shades, which, whatever, are completely brand new. And like I said, it just feels really dishonest. And to me, it's such a massive stupidity check, because they honestly feel that we, their customers, are stupid enough to buy everything again. You know, so I mean, like, that's why, like, I just want to throw that in, because, like I said, why rename everything? Why is Skull White now Ceramite White?
My kind of, I don't know, my feeling about that is just, I'm sure there's a stupid reason. I just don't care. You know, I think that's the only reaction that I can have to it. It's just like, oh, I'm sure somebody will say something like, oh, but, you know, it was a different company, so it was a different copyright, so we had a different name. We had to name them all something different because of this, that legal reason, or because, you know, we just felt like, you know, we needed something new. Or like you said, they were trying to scam people into thinking they were buying an entirely new range of paints. But at the end of the day, I could care less.
Let's be honest, Lang.
I could just care less.
We all know it's the scam.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and just send this episode all the way to the penal asteroid of Ruripente and just call it an end of the show. That was also from Star Trek, in this Star Trek 6.
I couldn't tell.
Well, I knew Nathan because he giggled instantly, but for me, yeah.
I was still stuck on penal. There.
Penal.
See, that was actually what I started laughing about, because I was just like, is Lang going for more bodily fluid jokes, or is he going back to the Star Trek well?
Kaplock. All right, that's Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Kyle.
Have a good one.
Cheers.